living in a state of stress, constant stress, is one of the biggest contributing factors to not just excess belly fat, that visceral fat, but also higher incidences of cardiovascular diseases. Cardiovascular diseases are the number one killer for women over the age of 50. Often stress can just feel mental and emotional, not physical, but nothing could be further from the truth. Let me also add that when your body has waning levels of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, the physical impacts of stress are even greater. I don't care how perfect your macros are or how hard you're working out. If your stress is not in check, there is a hurricane going on inside of you that nothing can penetrate. So far this year, the most popular podcast episode that I released was number 324. It was called Menopausal Belly Fat and Why It's Killing You. This struck a chord with you guys on so many levels. If you've been living under a rock and have not listened to that episode, I'm going to make sure that it's linked for you in the show notes. But it really highlighted the fact that, okay, this excess fat around your midsection, what's often called, you know, visceral fat, this is not just annoying and like aesthetically unpleasant. It can also be really dangerous too. It can determine whether or not in 10 years from now, you're living a happy, thriving lifestyle full of energy and health. You're able to do what you want with your family, with your kids, or if you're not taking care of it, if you're not doing something about it, it could mean that you're extremely sick and could even be dying. It's that important. And in fact, the leading cause of death among women over 40, women over 50, really, is cardiovascular diseases and having excess fat around your midsection. This increased amount of visceral fat is one of the largest contributing factors for cardiovascular diseases. So what does that have to do with our episode today? Why am I even bringing that up and even starting with it? Well, living in a state of chronic stress, when you're constantly stressed out, this is one of the biggest contributors to having an increase of this visceral fat, this increased belly fat around your midsection, and it is a direct contributing factor to these cardiovascular diseases, okay? It is that important. Now, before you think I live in this like stress-free land, I know I post a lot of really pretty pictures on Instagram about where we live and what life is like, but obviously, just like everybody, it doesn't show the whole story. And there have been some phases of my life where I've been through some serious stress, and it has impacted my body physically. And one of these big moments was a few years ago. I think a lot of us went through this intensely stressful season during COVID. You know, 2020, 2021, I look back on those years and realize like, whoa, the amount of stress we were under was insane. It felt like we were walking through fire, and quite literally that same year that we were at home, you know, we were trying to figure out how to homeschool the boys, and that was a huge issue. While at the same time, I'm making these like huge decisions with my business, bringing on a business partner, like decisions that were like once in a decade kind of decisions in the middle of this. We actually, where we were living in Oregon at the time, there was a wildfire that was coming. And we weren't home at the moment, but the wildfire was coming and it was like level 3 evacuations. We had a horse. I still have her, fortunately, but we were having to call people that lived in the area to come get my horse. We had to call my sister-in-law to come to the house to pick up our dogs. She was walking through the house with a camera, taking photos of each room just in case we needed them for insurance claims in case the house burnt down. That was a wild experience. A few months after that, we actually put our house on the market because we decided we were going to move states. We moved from Oregon back to my home state of Idaho, which is a huge move, a huge decision, another once in a lifetime decision. And the night that our house was set to close, a massive winter storm came through and we lost power and all these giant old growth oak trees fell on our house. Just crashed on our house in the middle of the night. Most terrifying thing I have ever lived through in my life. That night we were having to like crawl to different rooms to find a room that was safe from getting crushed. It was the most insane thing ever. Fortunately, we were safe. For the most part, our house made it through. Okay, we moved to Idaho, lived in a rental for a short period of time because we started building a house. If anybody's built a house, you know that that is one of the most stressful things you can do as a couple, as a family. So we started building our house. Our rent came up. We could no longer live in our rental, so we had to move into a fifth wheel in the middle of winter. So we're living in a fifth wheel while our house is finishing. So needless to say, it was stressful. I would go through my days with a smile on my face and try to just keep going through the motions. But there were a lot of days where like I literally could not breathe, where it felt so physical, like just the impact of all of this chronic stress going on, like one thing to the next. It almost felt like I was playing a game of dodgeball. And as soon as I would try to stand back up, someone else would throw another ball at my head and I'd crash back down again. And I'd like catch my breath and stand back up and another ball would hit you. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you've been there. And, you know, this is a perfect example of chronic stress, like stressors that just are one thing after another, and you just try to push through and do what you can to survive, but there's this like in the background buzz of just tension always going on. And I get it. I know what that feels like. And I know that so often stress can feel like it's just mental and it's just emotional. It's not a physical thing. You can just put a smile on your face and just plow through. But nothing could be further from the truth. It is extremely physical, okay? When your body feels stress, when it feels mental and emotional stress, it turns on what's called the sympathetic nervous system. Let's go back to high school biology class for just a minute. You've got your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. This is kind of like your fight or flight response. The sympathetic nervous system, that is the fight or flight response. And the way I think about it, or the way I can remember which is which, is that sympathetic, I like to think like it has sympathy for the amount of stress that you're under. Like it kind of gets called into action because it's like, I'm so sympathetic to the amount of stress that you feel. So maybe that'll help you remember in your brain which is which. But basically, sympathetic nervous system, this is that fight or flight response. This is how your body reacts to the stresses that it feels every day. And it's extremely physical. It impacts almost every single organ in your body, especially your hormones. So your hormones go into action like crazy, okay? Your adrenals are glands and they produce cortisol. What cortisol does is it increases inflammation in your body, which is really great. When you're stressed, you need this, like, especially a lot of stress is from pain or from an injury. And so your cortisol helps to increase inflammation in your body that can help heal those injuries or something that is being damaged, okay? So cortisol starts to get pumped out. Adrenaline starts to get pumped out too. Your central nervous system, this is like your brain and your spinal cord. This is the big like motherboard of your body. This goes on high alert and it starts to send really powerful signals to your muscles throughout your body so that they carry a little bit more tension, okay? They lock down a little firmer. This is where you can develop a lot of those knots in your muscles, right? They carry a little bit more tension. Another thing that can happen during this time because of that tension is that your breathing patterns can change, right? So you can even begin to breathe a little bit more shallow, a little bit more short, and not as deep of a breath, but more like kind of up in the top of your chest. That is a very common reaction to a fight or flight response. Athletes can actually amp themselves up. They can put themselves on high alert just by changing their breathing pattern. Like you've probably seen this, like the Olympics are right around the corner, right? You'll see them getting ready for a sport and they'll go, you know, and just that really hard, heavy breath can pump up your adrenaline and make your body go on high alert. So this also happens when you're under stress like that. Another thing that happens is that blood sugar levels rise. So the amount of sugar in your blood will rise. The amount of glucose in your blood will rise because it needs to get energy and nutrients to all of these tense and working muscles. Okay. So these are all really good and wonderful things that your body can do when it's under stress. But the problem happens, as you know, that once the stressful situation passes, your sympathetic nervous system should shut off. And the other one, the parasympathetic nervous system, should turn on. But the problem is when this doesn't happen, okay? When things just kind of stay on high alert. So when everything just stays on high alert and when all of these fight or flight mechanisms just stay turned on and your body doesn't switch over into that other mode of operation, it doesn't switch over into that parasympathetic nervous system, just kind of stays on, there are so many health consequences for this, okay? Chronically high levels of cortisol in the body. This is when your body's like always pumping out high levels of cortisol. What happens is that your adrenals start to get fatigued. You've probably heard of adrenal fatigue. They just get tired of creating so much cortisol all the time. And when your adrenals start to shut down, this is where you get some significant hormone imbalances in your body. Another thing that occurs is that as you're pumping out all of this cortisol, this is where your body starts to really store a lot of that visceral fat. When you have high amounts of cortisol in your body, any excess energy or excess calories that you consume are really going to get stored in your trunk section. So this is also happening during that period of time. And also because you're constantly pumping out so much cortisol, which leads to inflammation, this is where you can start to begin to have a lot of joint pain and fatigue. And you're like, how on earth does that connection happen where I'm stressed out and now my joints hurt? This is how that happens. Because as you're stressed out, your body creates more cortisol, which increases your inflammation, and now your joints hurt, and now you feel fatigued. Also, chronically high levels of blood sugar, like when you're really stressed out all the time and your blood is always full of sugar, like all of these chronically high levels of blood sugar can lead to insulin resistance. Because as soon as you get a lot of glucose in your blood, your insulin has to go to work to put it somewhere. And that's another one that gets tired. That hormone gets tired. Your pancreas gets tired of creating insulin. And there's actually something called stress-induced diabetes. This is a thing where you can actually, just with stress alone, make yourself diabetic, which is wild to think, right? Another thing that happens is that your nervous system just starts to go haywire. It's just been on high alert for so long, it can lead to things like chronic fatigue, just lethargy and muscle weakness and just muscle dysfunction. Your metabolism can also start to slow down. Other normal functions start to get impacted, like being able to sleep at night. There's this interesting thing that happens as you go to bed. Naturally, as you go to bed, your hormone melatonin should increase as cortisol and adrenaline decrease. And then as you go through the night, once you get closer and closer to waking, those two hormones or those three hormones actually cross over and your melatonin drops down and your cortisol goes back up. So first thing in the morning is when your cortisol is kind of at its highest, same with adrenaline. But if you're always pumping out high levels of cortisol, you're not going to be able to sleep very well at night. Your melatonin is always getting completely dominated, okay? All of these things are going to contribute to a higher likelihood of cardiovascular diseases too, okay? So obesity, heart disease, diabetes, like I mentioned, and even some cancers. Let me also just add that as you are getting older as a woman and you're body has waning levels of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, the physical impacts of stress on your body are even greater than they were when you were younger, okay? Your sex hormones, so the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, they counteract and kind of balance out some of those stress hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and insulin, the way insulin works in your blood sugar. Okay, so when we remove those stress hormones from the equation, or when we remove the sex hormones from the equation, the stress hormones just can have a heyday. So as you are getting older, this is why becoming a stress managing ninja becomes increasingly important, because your body is simply more sensitive now to what stress is going to do on your body. Okay. So I don't care how perfect your macronutrient counting is. I don't care how intense your workouts are. I don't care how dialed in your exercise and nutrition is. If you are not managing your stress, you have the potential to be a very unhealthy person. So that is what I'm going to help you with today. Did I paint that picture well enough? Let's move on. Okay, stop for just a second. Is your core a hot mess right now? I know that's kind of a personal question, but if you feel like your core muscles are squishy and can't fire, and it feels like they're just non-existent, and maybe even because of that, you've been experiencing like back pain and posture issues and just this general lack of confidence in your body, then I want to invite you to join me for my free 5-day core tune-up. Unfortunately, most other core training strategies out there just target your abs and give you a bunch of like high burn ab exercises that end up hurting you in the long run. So I want to show you something completely different. In my 5-day core tune-up course, I'm going to lead you through the exact movements that your entire core needs to engage properly and function at its best. We're going to do it in less than 10 minutes a day with no equipment needed. All right. By the end of these 5 days, you will feel your core muscles. You'll feel your hips, you'll feel your glutes, and you'll also have this arsenal of knowledge and body awareness for how to adjust your posture and your core throughout the day. And most importantly, you'll finally experience hope for your core again. This 5-day core tune-up course, it's totally free. Just go to 5daycore.com, 5 with the number 5, 5daycore.com to sign up, and I will send you the day one video right away. Strong core, here you come. Okay, I am going to give you some simple tactics that you can start doing today that are going to help you manage your stress. Your goal with each of these are to tone down that sympathetic nervous system, okay, that fight or flight response, and to have a few moments every single day where your body can settle into that parasympathetic nervous system, or that parasympathetic state. And I know that might sound a little bit woo-woo, but this is just how your nervous system functions. This is how your brain, your spinal cord, your nerves function, and then how your hormones interact with that, how your muscles and your organs interact with that too. Okay, so our goal with each of these things is to tone down the sympathetic and to settle into some moments where you get to experience that parasympathetic nervous system. Okay. So here are 3 things that you can try every day that are going to do just that. Okay. The first one I want you to try is called patterned breathing or box breathing. There's a couple different ways to do this, and I'll explain it in a minute, but why does this work? Well, when you get stressed out, as you're in that fight or flight response, your breathing rate, your respiratory rate increases. You start to breathe at a faster pace, and you also start to breathe up into kind of that collarbone area. So kind of the top of your rib cage, your highest lungs, or kind of the top of your lungs, and that's where you really start to use your shoulders, your neck muscles, your collarbone to lift and expand and your rib cage to get the air in. Okay. So by doing some rhythmic, more patterned breathing that intentionally pulls the air down to the base of your rib cage, we can actually override that nervous system reaction in the moment and tell your brain to relax just by changing your breathing pattern. It's really powerful. So in the moment when you're feeling like super shallow breathing and you feel like you have an elephant on your chest, just by doing some of this rhythmic breathing can give your brain the feedback it needs to enter into that parasympathetic state. Okay. So here's how you do it. One method is doing box breathing. Okay. So box style breathing is where you inhale for a count of 4, hold the breath for a count of 4, exhale for a count of four and then hold for a count of four. So let's try that together. So we're going to inhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four, hold, two, three, four. And you would just repeat that pattern. So it's very rhythmic. Okay, so that's one way to do it, the box breathing. So 4-4-4-4, all right? Another way, and this might be my favorite method actually, is to what I call like, it's a different pattern. It's a 5-5-8, okay? So it's actually three numbers and they're a little longer. So it's inhaling for a count of five, holding for a count of five, and exhaling for a count of eight. And there's studies that show that by exhaling longer than you inhale, so having a slightly longer exhale than the inhale, that is what's really powerful for your sympathetic nervous system. So let's do this together. So you're gonna inhale, two, three, four, five, hold, two, three, four, five, exhale, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So if you're really stressed out, that full long exhale for eight feels really challenging in the beginning. Both of these methods are going to feel really challenging in the beginning, but that is a really good indication that you need it a lot, that you need to teach your breathing rate how to override that fast, high, intense breathing that's up in your neck and your chest. Another thing that you can practice while you're doing this breathing, spread your fingers open, place your hands on your belly so that your thumb is actually touching your bottommost rib. And then as you inhale, and I do recommend inhaling through your nose, okay, it warms the air up, which is nice. Inhale through your nose, and it should feel like you're filling up your belly with your breath. And then as you exhale, you can exhale through your mouth or your nose. It should almost feel like your hand compresses and your thumb compresses. So as you're practicing that patterned breathing, it should feel like your collarbone and your shoulders don't move at all. All right. So I recommend practicing either the box breathing, so 4-4-4-4, or the 5-5-8 breathing. Do a minimum of five breaths with that pattern and do it at least once every day. The second thing you can do is go for a walk, not a power walk, a leisurely stroll, okay? It has to be a leisurely stroll to actually turn off that sympathetic nervous system, all right? So removing yourself from your environment that could be charging up your stress, getting fresh air, looking around at nature, and gently moving your body, all of these things kind of combine into this perfect magical ball of a stress relieving activity. Okay. So it works wonders. So here's how to do it. Really easy. You just go for a walk. There's really nothing magical about it as far as like how to do it, which is why this is so wonderful, is that there's no barrier to entry. You don't have to learn something new. Okay. So really just 5 to 10 minutes of getting outside and walking, even if it's raining, even if it's cold, just the fresh air has a powerful effect on your nervous system. Okay. So 5 to 10 minutes is enough to change the level of nervous system firing that's going on in your body. Frequently throughout the day, I'll just get up from my desk and go for a walk to the mailbox and back. It takes me about 5 minutes and it completely resets me. All right. Things to think about while you're doing this, try to not engage in, like a really energetic conversation. Like, don't use this time to go for a walk and call your mom for that conversation you've been dreading all week. Or listen to a podcast episode that's stirring up all of these new ideas in you. When you do this leisurely stroll, it should be really calming. Listen to music. Keep it relaxed. This is not a power walk. This is not meant to burn calories. Okay. Take deep breaths while you're out there. Look up, look around, breathe in the fresh air, smile at every person you see, and you're going to realize that this has such a dramatic impact on your stress over the course of the day. The third thing you can do, and this one's really powerful, this is just some gentle stretching and movement, okay? We used to, years ago, do a retreat with some of my Strong Mamas coaching program members, and there was something we always did that first evening that we got together because it was always stressful. You know, if people are flying in and traveling from different corners of the country, and you just have that like bundle of energy and bundle of stress, it's exciting. It's kind of a good stress in that moment. But you're not going to sleep that night, right? If you don't do something about it. So that first night, we always would spend like 20 minutes. I would lead them through some like a gentle stretching flow, focusing on stretching kind of the areas of the body that hold the most tension, not doing anything that was like really aggressive or forceful. And then we would always finish that time with just laying flat on your back and going through and doing something called a body scan. So you kind of systematically go through sections of your body, like your toes, your calves, your knees, your hips, your shoulders, and just create tension on purpose and then actively release that tension. And by the end, you feel like a blob. Like you feel so relaxed. It's hard to open your eyes. Like you feel heavy and just chilled out. So this is the power of this combination of just doing some relaxing movement with something that just allows you to focus on some deep breathing in the moment. This is so good for like toning down that sympathetic nervous system. Okay. So here's a few things that will help you as you're doing this. So the point of this, remember, is not to be burning calories. Once again, the point is to feel good and to relax. Okay. So start small. It doesn't need to be 20 minutes. It could be just 3 to 5 minutes. It could be 3 to 5 movements. And I recommend kind of focusing on the big areas of your body that carry the most tension. It's probably going to be your hips and your shoulders, maybe even your neck. Okay. So do some like dynamic flowy style stretches for those areas on your body. Don't push yourself into a range of motion that feels really hard, where you actually kind of backfire and guard and tense up because it feels like, whoa, that's a really, really deep stretch and I can't relax. Like the moment I get there, I actually start to breathe a little more shallow. Don't go that deep. Okay. You can also use like a guided flow. I have a number of these over on my YouTube channel. In fact, I'm going to drop one in the links for you for this episode. Super relaxing. It actually finishes with one of those body scans. And I remember while we were recording it together, my partner who was in the other room kind of listening as I was recording and doing the video, he almost fell asleep in the other room. It was so relaxing. So I'm going to make sure to drop that in the show notes. This is really great to do right before bed. So gentle stretching, just some gentle movements will do a wonderful job of toning down that sympathetic nervous system. And of course, there are a bunch of other things that you can try. Things like reading or playing music. If you're a musician, listening to music, something about that rhythm of music that is so helpful. Cooking, art, you know, painting or sculpting, taking a bath, taking a nap, journaling or writing, basically anything that has a slight amount of stimulation, but in a good way. It's not overstimulating you. It's actually engaging you, kind of like the breathing engages you. Going for a walk engages you. Doing the gentle movements, it's engaging. It's not like you're numbing out. You're being engaged, but not in a way that creates tension, okay? Here's what doesn't work, okay? Listen up. Doing quote-unquote healthy things that are actually creating more stress in the body. I know a lot of people are like, when I feel stressed out, I just want to go do a really hard, high-intensity workout. It's like that might feel kind of stress relieving in the moment, but it could actually be creating more stress in your body. Also doing things like restricting food, not getting enough sleep at night, scrolling through your phone, engaging in arguments online, all of these things are going to charge up your stress and not work for you, okay? So my biggest takeaway that I have for you today is that I want you to start taking your stress seriously, okay? It's not just mental. It's not just emotional. It's also physical. And if you don't start managing it better now, taking it seriously, it could have serious effects on your health. You could find yourself 3, 5, 10 years from now and realize, whoa, I am so unhealthy. And so much of that was a culmination of all of this unmanaged stress that was in my life, right? So take it seriously. Put some things in place that give you tools every day to manage your stress. I know that a lot of the things that stress you out are out of your control. You can't get rid of them. They're just part of your life. But that doesn't mean that you can fit some moments into your day that help turn off your sympathetic nervous system and help put you into that parasympathetic state. Okay. So I want you to choose 2, maybe 3 things every day, whether you feel like doing it or not, whether you feel like you need it or not. Choose 2 or 3 things every day that you start to get in a habit of doing that help to put you into that parasympathetic, really relaxed, really chilled out state. Okay. And then you can move on with your day, go tackle the other things you need to do, and then check it again and make sure that you're bringing yourself back down into that parasympathetic state. Okay, my friend, this is going to impact your health on so many levels. And I really just care for you and I want the best for you right now, today, and 10 years from now and 20 years from now. Okay. And how you manage your stress now is going to determine that. It's going to determine how you feel years from now. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. And I hope you learned something, and I will meet you back here on the next episode. Until then, be strong.